Good evening.
And thank you.
And thank you for that nice introduction. I'm here to talk about Google Apps. Google has provided a whole bunch of desktop and mobile apps for us to use, and they come at the right price. They're all free. They run at home and they run on the go. So let us start. Before Google, this was about the way we had to answer some questions. You just waited, if you couldn't get the answer, you just waited till you got to the library, or you waited till you came across somebody with an answer. But since Google, we're getting information almost instantaneously. If you have a computer around or a smartphone, you can get it almost immediately. And if you have one of these Alexa devices in your home, you can get it immediately. The information is constantly available, and Google helps make it all available. So Google as a company is really a multifaceted company. It started out with search. It has developed the Chrome browser, which I would assume there are a good number of people in this audience that use the Chrome browser. It also has large cloud computing presence. In fact, we've been using a lot of the Google cloud computing servers for years and not realizing we were doing cloud computing. And they also have a line of hardware, the Chromebook. They have a laptop that runs the Chrome, or used to be Chromium, operating system, and provides a browser in hardware for someone who doesn't want to get involved with an IBM PC. I guess there is a small percentage of people who would prefer something like that. But the company Google began, I guess before I do that, I should give my disclaimer. I don't work for Google. I never have worked for Google. So this is all just a matter of interest. The company began in 1996 as a research project. They were pretty clever in realizing the internet was going to provide an enormous amount of information. And how would people get that information, and who would organize it was the area they decided to go into, and it's been an incredibly successful area. In 2015, they got so big, I guess they incorporated and created a holding company, Alphabet, and they now have a whole bunch of other companies. Waymo is one of them that maybe some people are familiar with. That's the autonomous vehicle company. A couple of the others, there's Calico, GV, Verily, or X. I'm not sure what they're involved in, but no doubt they're involved in some very interesting things. Enormous company, over $700 billion capitalization. So Google has made a big impact on our computer users' lives. The browser, Chrome, the browser that was built early on and released for Windows in 2008 has really garnered a large share of the web browsing activity. We'll see in a minute. And then there's the number Google. That's 10 to the 100th power, or 1 followed by 100 zeros. I guess they expected they were going to be creating they were going to be gathering a large amount of data, and that data would run into needing numbers up in the 10 to the 100th. I guess not quite that high. But they certainly did aim high. And then, of course, Google the verb has been being used for quite a while. It even made it into the dictionary in 2006. And you know how many times you hear people say, oh, Google it, or have you Google that. Google has really taken on a life of its own. And it really has all of the, an enormous amount of the search. You have people calling or saying, Google it. You rarely hear somebody say something like Bing it or one of the others, search activities. So Google's applications or apps are built for the home computer, for the laptop, the desktop, and also the mobile apps, parallel mobile apps run on your smartphones and tablets. And they are very similar, but they're slightly different. And the difference is typically because of the size of the screen and the usefulness or where it's being used. Mobile apps may not have all the features that the computer apps have, but they seem to be improving as time has gone by, and I expect that will continue. So there are enormous number of Google products out there, over 140. This is just the beginning of them. Some of the ones that circled are ones that I've used and are fairly popular. Some of the asterisks are ones that I've used and been grateful for having the ability to have them. Android Messages is fairly new, but it allows you to do texting on your Android device quite nicely. The contacts, again, the Android contacts app works out very well. All of these apps are really followed, have to be followed. The apps need to be looked at by name and by icon, because you'll find many, many apps called contacts, but you'll only find one contacts app with that particular icon. Same with messages. Many of them, you really have to be very careful when you do get an app that you get the one you expected to get. And that holds mostly for the smartphone, for the mobile devices. Now, there are a lot here that are very well-known. You've probably been using many of these. There's Chrome, Gmail, and Google Drive. Many of you are probably using those and even more that are on this list. So that's some of them. And this carries on through the alphabet. Google Duo is a fairly new one, developed last year, and Google Duo allows something that couldn't be done before Google Duo. This is a video chatting app that allows you to go from phone to phone. So it's not something for video conferencing, it's point to point or phone to phone video chatting. So in the past, before Google Duo, you couldn't connect up an Android phone with an Apple phone. Now, if you had an Apple phone and all of your neighbors and friends used Apple phones, why, you could use FaceTime and you could video chat with them. But people with the Android phones had to use Skype or some of the other ones that may have been used, but Google Duo now is a video chatting app, both for iPhone and for the Android phones. So you can now communicate with all those friends that have iPhones using your own Google Duo. Google Home is an app that helps you do some home automation. You know, in the past, we may have automated our homes with X10, and that used the wiring in your house. Google Home and the current home automation devices use the Wi-Fi that's become ubiquitous in people's homes. So you may be interested in looking at Google Home as in the future. Google Keep is a password manager, passwords seem to be a big problem for all of us. So that's one opportunity to help you around with that. And there are more. Google search is the obvious one, the initial one. There are Google Docs, which is actually similar to Office in that it has a word processing, a spreadsheet, and a presentation graphics, a presentation app. So Google Docs has, we'll see that in the, during the presentation. Docs, Sheets, and Slides are the three apps that are part of the Office apps collection. And then Waze and YouTube are probably familiar to you. YouTube has been around an awfully long time. Waze, not so long, and is similar to Maps. I can't really attest to things above that line into the future, but it looks pretty good for the past. We have seen YouTube and Google Phone. Will we have a Google Car in the future? Well, with Waymo looking in that direction, there's a very good chance. Anything beyond that is anybody's guess. So the products that we'll talk about here are search, email, calendar, YouTube, the Google Drive, Google Maps, Docs, Photos, and Waze. As I said before, there are an enormous amount of apps and applications, well over 140 of them. You really have to look and see what satisfies your own particular needs, or you talk to some friends and they've discovered something and you give it a try. So Google search at home is you go to the Google website and you get a window that just says basically what question can I answer for you? And you type in your question and Google search will go out and it won't answer your question, but it will give you a whole lot of websites that hopefully will answer that question. So the search is really done before you get to ask your question. Google has, at least from what I remember, they had web crawlers, and those were applications that went out on the web and tried to determine what's out there and then put all that in an enormous database and make that available to you when you were to ask those questions. So what you're doing is you're asking a question of the search engine. The search engine had been populating its database over time, and then you're getting the best results from that database based on the question you've asked. But notice up here, when you go to the Google site, you have this all, what I call at least the all apps icon, and it seems to be a box with a whole bunch of dots in it, typically 9, I've seen 6, I've seen 16, and you'll see those that icon used mostly on your smartphone and tablet. But here they've been using it on the Google website to give you an indication that there are lots of apps available, and you can get to them from any, you can get to any one Google app from another one through through this icon. And I've also noticed Yahoo using that same icon on their Yahoo website. So it seems like it's becoming an icon that many people will be using and will be accustomed to. So at home, that's what you'll see. And going, hitting the all apps, you'll get an idea of what other apps you can see. Normally down in the bottom, there's a more, and if you click on the more, then you'll get another group of Google Apps, and you can get still more to the bottom of that. You'll have to try that out on your Google website when you get a chance. So the search on the go or the mobile apps, typically Google will have a lot of its apps set up in a folder on the someplace on your home screen or one of your screens. And if you click on that or if you tap that, you'll see all the apps that have been provided by Google as part of that particular release on that particular smartphone or tablet. So you'll have access to many of the Google apps just by the fact that you have an Android phone. If you have an Apple phone, you'll have to get the apps that you want from the Apple Store. Again, you see down on the bottom here the All Apps icon used for that device. So we give you all the apps on the device, whereas this folder here was intended to give you just the Google apps. But search is indicated by this big G, and that's the Google search icon for mobile apps. So search is the search engine. It's available in 123 different languages and maybe more by now. There are a large number of active users, and the Google search app seems to have pretty much the largest.
I asked you a question the same way you just did.
The largest share. I think that's. I have a Google device here in this room, and I guess that was the sound you heard in the background. So, Google search engine searches and prioritizes the websites at which you'll find the answer to whatever question you've asked. You can see by this pie chart up here how often Google is used or what it's used for. Spelling checks, quite a bit. Finding useful information seems to be a little too small. Finding other information, well, I guess I'll have to leave the definition of other to your imagination. But there are quite a few uses for the Google search engine. When you type in a question, when I was using this, I typed in Snapchat. It was around the time that Snapchat was released as an IPO. The stock was released, and I was interested in pursuing Snapchat. This is an indication of how Google has really garners the large number of searches that are done. And this is an old graph, but I don't think it's changed by much. Google still has about 65% of the searches. When you do look to get the results, this was the results for Snapchat. Snapchat, it gave quite a few different places for you to look, and one obviously was the Snapchat website. When I did that on my smartphone, you would expect to get pretty much the same results, and they were. The first two were Snapchat, the Snapchat website, and then of course the Wikipedia shows up no matter what you're looking for. Wikipedia shows up someplace on that first screen. And it's very rare that we get to need that second screen. I don't think I've ever gone down beyond three screens, or maybe I just don't have the patience to go beyond the second screen. Gmail is one of those email services that is really a cloud service that's been around for a long time. It provides mobile apps for both Android and Apple. it gives you 15 gigabytes of free storage for your mail. It has some limitations, and those are the basic email limitations. You really can't send 250 photos to your friend using email. You have to use other services for that. But it has a large number of users, and it's been around for a good long time. And our user group, we recommend anybody who's just starting or getting a email account that they get at least one Gmail account. So on the desktop, this is what the desktop would look like for your Gmail account. And it covers the Gmail, the mail that you get and the mail that you create. And it also shows your contacts. So contacts are very closely related to your mail app. And this is the way you get to your contacts on the desktop Gmail app, by clicking on contacts, and then you'll be looking at all the people that you have in your contacts database. For mobile, you have to get a mobile contacts app, and there are quite a few of them out there, and they have different capabilities. And there is one that Google has provided, and it is one that gives you a good number of the features. When you get to Gmail on your mobile device, you have a lot smaller screen, and you'll find that most of the mobile devices, the mobile apps, you have to use a lot more icons instead of words on the screen. So you'll find the icon for search, most of us are pretty well familiar with the spyglass or the search icon. But over the last year or so, the menu, this three horizontal lines, has become the menu icon to look for. And in fact, you'll find three vertical dots that usually will give you further information. And in fact, I've seen three horizontal dots. And when you touch it, you see more information. So they're using a lot of different icons to indicate where you can find more information, or a menu of options. Even the Compose maybe is obvious now, but people who are not familiar with it, this is a pencil, and it's intended to be the Compose for the mobile Gmail. So when you do click on Compose, you would get this on the left. I'm sorry, that's the contacts. But when you click on your contacts app, you'll see the list of contacts. This particular mobile contacts app up here with this icon was interesting in that it gave you two ways of showing your apps. You could see all of them just alphabetically, or you could see them with the favorites. And the favorites was like speed dial. So you would keep the people or the phone numbers that you wanted to get to right away there. And everything else would just be alphabetically organized. Okay. I did get to that point. And it seems like once you get on a mailing list, it's almost impossible to get off. One nice thing that's come about with this messaging app, if you use this particular messaging Android messaging app, this is the Android messaging app icon over here. Texting is for immediate communications between phones. So you need to go with text from phone to phone. And that seems to work out fine, except that you have a very small keyboard, and that keeps your texts to very short texts, and maybe that's just as well for the kind of communications texting was intended for. But if you want to use your home computer to send a text, this Android Messages has given you the ability to do that. The way you do that is you go to your browser and you type in, and you go to the site messages.android.com. When you get to that, you'll see this display, and this display has a QRC code located down in the lower right. So you get to that point on your computer, then you go onto your phone, and you go into the Messages app. And again, that's this Messages app. This only works with this Messages app. So you'll see it's Messages, and there's a menu. There's the three vertical dots, and you'll see that when you touch that, you'll get this little menu, and one of the options is Messages for Web. You click on Messages for Web, you touch it, and you'll then see this screen here, and it'll say scan QR code. You'll click, or you touch that, and then what you have is the phone's camera looking out. It's the front-facing camera, the camera that's facing away from you, and you'll hold it up to that QR code, and as you get it close to the QR code, it will immediately snap into place, and you'll even feel a little vibration on your phone, and you'll see this all set indication. And then you can go to your keyboard, and you can send as long a text as you want. So it really allows you to send longer texts and texts without spelling errors, I guess, because you have a much better keyboard. Nice feature that Google has included in the messaging app. Calendar is a really useful app. It's a time management and scheduling service. It's web-based, and it's available for Android and Apple. You can create and edit all kinds of events. You can have start and stop time for the events. You can put those events on for days, and you can look at them by day, week, or month. You can combine calendars, and that I find to be the most useful thing. You can combine multiple calendars. This is the presentation you'll see on your desktop calendar. And here you'll see I have a couple of different calendars. Google has put the holidays calendar there. And I have my calendar in blue, my wife's calendar in pink, and then another calendar that shows up in a different color, blue. And so we have three calendars as well as the holidays calendar. I'm not sure this shows all three calendars, but I typically have my calendar for my events, her calendar for her events, and I have a third calendar that has all the important things, important dates that I want to remember, birthdays, anniversaries. And for any of you who are retired and have to do what am I grasping for? Send in income tax. Anyway, multiple tax. Just draw a blank. Anyway, if you are retired and you have to send in the tax four times a year, well, you can put those dates on this calendar, and then you'll never forget. You'll never have to worry about that kind of thing. So it really provides the solution to that question that you're asked when you're in a doctor's office, and they're just saying, well, can I make an appointment, a follow-up appointment for you 3 months from now on a Wednesday at 2 o'clock? And if you don't have access to your calendar, well, a lot of times you just accept it. You go home and you look for your paper calendar and you find out that you had another engagement at that point and you have to call up the doctor's office and then reschedule. So it's really a very useful device to have with you in your pocket when you want to make an appointment. And this is what you see on your mobile phone. And if you're looking at a full month, it really is, it can be quite daunting. But you can look at it by week or by day. So you can then expand any one of these items and see what's behind it. So you do have access to the information as well as the timing of the event. I find it very, very useful. YouTube has been around, I'm not sure how long now that I think of it, but quite a while. It's a place for sharing videos. It's a place where you can upload and download videos. Actually, to upload the videos, you have to have an account. But you don't need an account just to download videos to watch them. So you'll find video clips up there, TV shows, music videos, short films, movie trailers. When I was 10 years old, I made a little magic show, and it was on 8mm film. And over the years, I converted it to a videotape and then got it into an MP4 file. And I just kept it for the longest time and showed it to a few people. I finally, one day, showed it to my son, and he said, you ought to have that up on YouTube. And I didn't have an account. Well, he put it up on YouTube, and sure enough, I went and checked it. This is my magic show on YouTube, if you were a mind to look at it. When you just put in magic show, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of magic shows, most of which are way beyond this magic show that was done when I was 10. YouTube is ranked as the second most popular website on the internet. So what's the first? Well, you have to think about that. It provides all kinds of information in a video form. Quite a while ago, I was looking for information on CBT transmissions, and I looked that up and got quite a bit of information. And in looking at the video of the way these CBTs are put together, made me wonder if I wanted to have a CBT in my next automobile. But I guess with the way they're being put into the new cars, they are as reliable as need be. So I looked at it at home, and I also showed some people the same thing on the phone. And it's really amazing how much information you can get through a video. And they're usually a couple of minutes. One of the other things I did was I wanted to propagate a fig tree. So I looked on YouTube for fig tree propagation, and sure enough, I got a couple of videos and got enough information to be able to propagate the fig tree I have in the back, my backyard. So now I've propagated it 3 or 4 times and passed those propagated fig trees on to other friends. And there's a lot of information. There's a lot of entertainment. And there's a lot of fun. This video might be interesting. Nobody gets wet. It was just a hologram. Pretty fascinating, and I can see people spending a lot of time on YouTube. It's almost infectious once you start it. Addictive, I guess I should say. Google Drive. Google Drive is a great cloud storage service, and if you have an Android smartphone, you have a Google Drive account already. It's web-based. Allows for file storage and synchronization, so you can store as many files as you want up in there within the amount of space they give you, within that 15 gigabytes. It synchronizes your files among your devices. If you want to do that, I tend not to. I find it more confusing if I have the devices synchronized. But it's just nice to know that any device can get to any of that information that's put up in the cloud storage. It's got a large number of users, and the apps are available both for Android and iOS, so you can have Google Drive available to you wherever you go. If you look at Google Drive on the desktop, it's basically something like File Explorer simplified, but it's going to show you the folders that you've created. I've got a couple here. And then when you select the folder, you'll see the files that are in there. This is no different from Dropbox or Box or OneDrive. It's a good storage service. If you look, here are some of the features. You know, you can create new folders, you can upload folders or files, and then, of course, you can download folders and files. Download files. Some more features, things that will come up with, come up when you choose the menus. Sharing is a big thing, and the way you usually share your folder is by sending in a link, usually in an email, to a friend, and then that friend uses that link to access that folder. So you only get a link to the folder you want to share. Anything else on your account is private and would not be shared. So it's only the thing that the folder that you get a link to that gets shared by your friends. When you look at the mobile app, you'll see pretty much the same thing. Your folders, and then when you choose a folder, you'll see the files, and you'll have opportunity to, again, using menus to download, upload, share those files. Some of the symbols are going to be icons instead of words, again, because we have the mobile smaller screen device. Even to a point of there are no words to send your file once you've chosen it. So the icon for send has become this little paper airplane. I think it looks like a paper airplane, and I've asked people in an audience, and not everybody picked that up the first time they saw it. So some of these icons are not intuitive until they become common, and then they become intuitive. The paperclip nowadays is intuitive. Everybody knows that's where you have attachments. So Google Drive, the Google Cloud devices are pretty new, and it's taken a little bit of time for people to get on board, but I think people are getting on board quite well. Google Maps is a mapping service, and it provides satellite and aerial imagery, street maps. Sometimes you may have seen these Google trucks driving through your neighborhood, what they're doing is they're taking street street level video so that, street level pictures so that you can see street level views using your the mapping service. Google Maps, you can also get route planning or directions, turn-by-turn directions. So your Google Maps can provide the GPS services for you. There are people who are under 30, I see, using the smartphone and Google Maps rather than having a GPS dedicated to their car. The apps available for Android and iOS now. So at home on the desktop, it really provides a nice map and ability to get directions. But its real value is using it in the on the go on your smartphone. Here you can not only get your maps, but you can get driving directions. Again, you have to go through, in this case, the menu, commonly called, you may have heard the term hamburger menu. It's the menu or the hamburger menu. So you can get the maps, and you can also get driving directions and navigation through the mobile app. You click on the hamburger menu and you click on start driving. It asks you to select a place, and then once you've told it where you, it knows where you are, and now you've told it where you want to go to, it can give you a map of where you're going to go and all the turn-by-turn directions. So GPS is not a big deal anymore for most of us because we've had GPS around for well over 10 years. But to have it on your phone is a great thing, and it's a free app. So you've got the GPS capability for free on your smartphone. Google Docs is a free web-based office suite. It provides a word processor similar to Word, spreadsheets similar to Excel, and presentations similar to PowerPoint. Its files are compatible with Microsoft Office file formats, which is a big plus. It's tightly integrated with Google Drive, so you'll be using Google Drive with those doc apps. It's available for both Android and Apple. So Docs, not only is the suite called Docs, but the Word app is called Docs. So you've got Docs, Sheets, and Slides to be the equivalent of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. When you went into the Docs, you would see the capabilities that you'd expect. You can start a new document, or you can work on a document that you previously set up. So you can do this on the desktop. You'll see for Sheets and Slides on the desktop. Or on the mobile apps, you have a little smaller display, but you will be able to see through using the menus any of those documents that you've done, or by the use of this plus. So the plus is kind of a create a new document. You'd be able to start a new document or a new sheet or a new presentation. Again, you're using some of these icons in place of the words that we're more familiar with in the desktop environment. Yeah, I guess our kids are way beyond us. They've really come a long way through being exposed to things like Excel. Photos is a free photo storage and sharing service. This is a real bonanza for all of us who have loads and loads of pictures, and I guess anybody who's got a smartphone has loads and loads of pictures. Unfortunately, most of those pictures are still on the smartphone. We find a lot of people that one of the main things they want to find out is how do I get pictures from my smartphone to the computer? And there are a variety of ways of doing that. And hopefully they end up doing that and keeping the database of pictures on their computer and just using the phone as a means of collecting pictures. Photos will allow you to put an unlimited number of pictures up on their photo sharing service, as long as they meet a quality standard for the pictures and the videos, which is not that high. So most of the pictures we take with our smartphones would qualify. So you could put thousands and thousands. One person said that they put 15,000 pictures up in his photos service. And the neat thing about that is, too, they've got artificial intelligence working in conjunction with their pictures. And you can get what they call albums by just saying, give me an album of a particular place. Give me an album of all the pictures I took at Niagara Falls. And it's pretty amazing the results you'll get. You can ask for, give me an album of my Uncle Bill. And they'll do facial recognition on your pictures and try to put together all the pictures that qualify as being Uncle Bill. So it's really a pretty amazing service that they've put up for use for free. Here's just a screen where you see the definition of a high quality. So here's where you get to choose what kind of photos you're going to be putting up, either the high quality, which is unlimited, which is actually anything below the high quality. And then if you choose unlimited, you can put up pictures of higher quality, but then you'll be limited to the 15 gigabytes. Now, this is what you'd see just looking with photos as a viewer on the desktop. You just see the pictures you have on your desktop. And the mobile, you'd see similar pictures on my phone. But keep in mind that when you're using photos as a viewer, you're only seeing pictures that were taken by the camera on that phone. Whereas if you use another viewer like gallery, you'll see all the photos that are on that phone, those that were taken by the camera on that phone, and those that you may have saved for one reason or another on that phone. Maybe you got an attachment and you decided to save it. If you use photos, you won't see that. If you use gallery, you will. And Waze is the last app. It is crowdsourced traffic reporting, similar to Maps in that you get traffic. But here you're getting traffic reports from other people who have reported to the using their Waze app. They've reported accidents, traffic jams. So now Waze is part of Google and has an overlap with Maps, but it is different. And people will tell you they prefer one over the other. I don't have a preference. There's mobile apps are available both for Android and for Apple. So what you'll see on the desktop, again, you mostly use a desktop for getting directions or seeing a map of where you might be planning to go. When you're on the mobile, when you're using your mobile phone, you'll see a map, but you'll also see an indication of what's going on along the route. And, you know, here I've got an indication that there's a vehicle stopped along the shoulder. So you're getting reports from other drivers about what's going on. A lot of times I find that most of these reports are the fact that there's a policeman hiding behind the mile marker 35 on a particular interstate. And one of the downsides I think I've seen or I've heard reported is that some of the information is old, so it doesn't look like they have a way of getting the information off in a timely manner. So you have to be a little careful with that. And to wrap it up, I think this is the way Google sees Google. Google is an enormous cash cow.
Thank you.
If there were any questions, I'd be glad to attempt an answer.
Hello. I have a question. During the discussion, you mentioned iOS or Apple cell phones a couple of times, but were many of the others, like Google Drive and some that you discussed before that, also available on Apple? Because you kind of emphasize Android.
I'm sorry, Jim. I couldn't make out a lot of the words.
My name is Mark. During the discussion, you seemed to emphasize Android cell phone applications for Google. Are most of those applications also available on with iOS with Apple cell phones?
Yes, they are, and you're probably right. I do tend to emphasize that's what I have. I have an Android phone.
Which of them is not available on Apple? Like you talked about Google Drive. Is that also available on Apple?
Google Drive is the all of the ones I spoke at length about are available on Apple. Well, but I don't know the answer to the other 130 or so apps. That you'd have to Google that app and see if it was available for Apple. Sorry, I can't be a little more specific.
Hello, I would like to know, is it possible to see the magic show that you did when you were 10 years old that you put on YouTube?
Again, I'm sorry, I had a little difficulty with...
I'll talk slower. Would it be possible to see the magic show you did when you were 10 years old?
Oh, absolutely. On that slide... you'll find the Google Google site on the Google site. You'll find you just put that into the Google site and you'll find that magic show. I'll send this whole presentation to anyone you'd like me to send it to, or maybe one person, and they can put it up on your website.
Phil, this is Stephanie. Send it to me since you already have my email address. Stephanie Nordlinger. I've sent you a few emails because I'm the vice president.
I hear the, yes, but the words aren't, okay. Do I have her email address? She's the one that contacted me initially?
Yes.
Okay, I'll send the presentation to you.
And I will put it on Lax List or Lax PC so that others can get it. And if you're not on those lists, let me know and we'll otherwise get it to you.
My own? Oh, good. I have been looking quite hard on Google to find a speech-to-text a converter, as Word has, for example.
I think I'm hearing an echo, and it's making it difficult to understand the words.
Our equipment here is clipping the highs off, and we aren't getting very many consonants. But it's very nice because your lips are pretty good, and so those of us who have hearing problems, we're lip reading and we're doing fine. And I thank you very much, sir.
Well, glad to hear that. I guess I don't know the answer to that. Again, you'd have to Google that particular app and give it a try.
Okay, more people?
Questions? You know, on your phone, you have... the ability to ask on the Android phones, you just say okay Google and then ask it, So there are quite a few that are voice actuated.
On the website English.stackexchange.com, they say, Dictionary, an indefinite and somewhat large number, more than a few but fewer than a lot, a fair number of. Quite a few, less than many. My understanding is that a lot and many are synonyms.
That's my Google device. Just have to be careful.
New question. Would you dare keep all of your data in the cloud?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a great question. All of my data, no. Some of it, absolutely. Anything for my convenience, I would. I certainly wouldn't keep any important information, banking information, passwords. But I know there are people who use cloud-based password managers, and they all feel, well, the people who use it, feel comfortable with it. I think the cloud is a place you can put stuff, but again, I wouldn't put financial information up there. But you know, you've probably got your financial information up in the cloud if you subscribe to Fidelity or T. Rowe Price or Vanguard or any of these people who are in the financial area. They're essentially in the cloud.
More people? More questions? We have plenty of time if anyone wants to. Are there some additional programs that you would recommend that are Google Apps?
That would be great. Currently, I'm going
to. Well, the ones that I had circled, I use, although we only got to talk about 9 or 10 of them. So any of those, the Google Home, if you're interested in home automation, it really depends on what your interest is. And you'd have to go and look at each one of them. First you have to have a need, you know. Once you have the need, then you can go to that list and see which one satisfies your need.
Do you feel like you should go up to Google and take off all the information they've acquired from you because you're using their apps?
I haven't felt that way. I didn't, no. But I know there are people who are concerned about that. I'm not.
It's mostly just to advertise. It's not to do anything, any harm to you. It's just to make money advertising.
Right. Well, they're using it to try to learn more about you so that they can target ads to you and they can make a lot more money by doing that. I think that there's some benefit for both of us. You know, targeted ads might be good for me and they should make some more money. That's good for them. Well, I think it's all a matter of features. And Edge, Firefox, and Chrome are all good browsers. And at various times, I've always felt one will have a new feature, and that would be the one to use if that feature is important to you. And in time, the others catch up. And I think it's a constant one jumping over the other. So at any given time, there may be one out there that's a little better than the other in that it's got some better features. If those specific features are important to you, then that's the one to use. I think security is probably the best reason to pick a browser, but I don't know how to judge that. Security and kind of safety. But I think they're all pretty much the same, although Edge seems to indicate that it is less prone to being bothered, annoyed. But I've seen strange things happen to all of all of those three browsers at various times, and it's aggravating when it happens, but it happens. I've never really found that one was consistently better than the other. Right now, you might feel that Firefox is better than the other two. And again, it depends on the particular person's needs and the features that they're using.
And you have to add things to Firefox and these other programs to even get those special features, correct?
Right, right. There are add-ons, yeah. And it depends on the feature set we were talking about. I use all three of them, to be honest with you, at various times, and sometimes not even for specific reasons. But I guess just to keep my fingers in the, you know, into the using them, because I find when I go back to using one that I haven't used in a while, things have moved around and changed, and it's sometimes difficult to figure out how to do something that you knew how to do the last time you used it.
That happens to all of us. Okay.
Yeah,
any more questions? Okay, well, we thank you very much, Phil, for this presentation.